This evening, well, it feels like evening, it's getting dark. Let me turn some lights on just so you can see better. But this afternoon, we are going to talk about the Christmas stories. Now, normally we talk about the Christmas story, and if you were here last year, you remember that I did tell the Christmas story, but I acknowledge that there's actually two stories that we tend to smush together at Christmas time. And when we try to do that, there are some things that get left out because it's actually not really possible to take what the Gospel of Matthew says that the Christmas story is all about and what the Gospel of Luke says that the Christmas story is all about and put the two together without leaving something behind. So this year, I thought, why don't we just tell both stories? And then you can see the differences and the similarities and give you something to think about and even talk about over the course of the Christmas season. So, like last year, it's helpful for us to be able to visualize what's happening when we talk about what the first Christmas was all about. And what we're going to do is get our map figured out, because it's good to know the lay of the land. So we're going to start with the capital city of Israel. That's Jerusalem. We're going to put it right here. It's not quite in the middle of the country. It's a little bit further to the south, but there it is. That's Jerusalem. That's the capital city. And then there's another important city that comes up. It's the city of Nazareth. And this is in the north. So we're going to go ahead and put Nazareth up here. And now we know where that is. And then there's another city that's really important. Anybody got any idea? Yeah? Bethlehem. Yeah, it's a pretty important city. That's right, especially when it comes to Christmas. So Bethlehem is about 8 kilometers southwest of Jerusalem. So let's put it right about here. Now, there's a couple other places that get mentioned. One of them is just simply, well, we sang about it already, we three kings of Orient are. Orient means east. So east is this way. So they came from a city in the east. And chances are, suspicion is that these guys would have been Zoroastrian priests or something like that. They actually weren't kings. So they come from Iran and Iraq. And so I just thought I'd pick a name. So we're going to call this Baghdad. We aren't told in the scriptures where they came from. They came from the east. Let's pretend it's Baghdad. And we'll put that over here. And then at some point, Egypt shows up. And I'm not giving it a name of a city. I'm just going to call it Egypt, but it could be Cairo, could be Luxor, could be, well, there's a bunch of different places. We're going to put Egypt over here because it's south and east, or south and west, yes, of Israel. So there's our map. Israel is here. Egypt's over there. You've got the Saudi Arabian desert here, so everybody would always travel over this way to come down into Baghdad. But this is what we've got. Oh, yeah. And this is a field. There, we have our field. So let's start with the Gospel of Matthew. So with the Gospel of Matthew, we find out there are two people. There's Mary and Joseph. And they live in Bethlehem. And it turns out that they're engaged to be married. But before they got married, Mary's pregnant. And Joseph doesn't know what to make of that. He's going, wait a minute, hold on. Something got done out of order here, and I know it wasn't me. This is a bit of a problem. And he's thinking, okay, you know, obviously Mary messed up. But I think she said something about being pregnant by the Spirit or something, but whatever. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So I think we'll just call this off. We'll just keep it quiet, and I won't make a big deal about it because I don't want Mary to be, you know, mistreated by other people. We'll just call it good and just go our separate ways. And then Joseph goes to sleep. And in the middle of his sleep, he has a dream. And an angel appears to him and says, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And so then Joseph wakes up and realizes he had had this visitation from an angel and says, oh, okay, great. So he marries Mary, but he doesn't do anything until they have their son born to them. And so while they're in Bethlehem, living in their house. The baby is born, and Joseph names him Jesus. That's the end of Matthew chapter 1. That's the story of Jesus' birth in Matthew. Now, it does go on a little bit further, and it talks about the fact that Herod is the king of Israel at this point. Now, I don't have a little figure for Herod, but we're going to use a donkey because it's suitable. So in the capital city of Jerusalem, Herod is ruling. And it's during his time that he's just ruling, and he has no idea what's going on in Bethlehem. I mean, babies are born all the time. Bethlehem's a little town. This woman, Mary, this man, Joseph, they have their child, whatever. Babies are born, no big deal. They're living there for a year, so whatever. Well, the Magi over in Baghdad here, at some point, while they're here looking up at the stars, because back in that day, doing astrology and astronomy were kind of the same thing. So they would have had a scientific approach trying to understand how the heavenly bodies worked, but they also would have ascribed some kind of meaning to it. And what ends up happening is they see a rather fascinating thing out in the west, and it's a star. It's a star. Can't get good help these days. They see this star and they understand that this means that the new king of the Jews has been born. And so they figure, all right, let's do this good diplomacy thing. Let's go visit Israel and congratulate them on the fact that their new king has been born because we saw this star and we interpreted it. And so let's go. So they take their camel, three guys, one camel. Yeah, figure that one out. And they make their journey up and over the Saudi Arabian desert, because who wants to walk right through the desert? Stay where the river goes. And they come down to the capital city of Jerusalem, because that makes sense. It's the capital, right? So they come in, and they talk to Herod. And they said, we're from the east. And we saw the star for the newly born king of the Jews, and we wanted to come and acknowledge him. We want to ascribe worth to him. We want to acknowledge him for being the new king. And Herod goes, right, hang on just a second. Let me just go talk to somebody. Herod goes over and he talks to his high priests and wizards and science guys and astrologers and the whole thing. And he's going, I didn't know anything about a king of the Jews being born. Is this supposed to happen? And if so, where is he supposed to be born? Well, they go do some digging and they come back and say, you know, the prophet Micah said that this Messiah, this king, is supposed to be born in the city of Bethlehem. And so Herod goes, okay, thanks. Let me go talk to these guys. I'll be right back. And so he comes back to the three wise men. Actually, you know what? We don't know that there were three of them. It said that they brought gifts, which we'll talk about in a second. There could have been two. There could have been 27. We don't know how many there were. The traditional story is three. And so anyway, he comes and talks to these guys and says, I found out the information you're looking for. The new king is born in Bethlehem, which is just 8 kilometers southwest of here. And you can go there and find him. Mary and Joseph are his. Well, no, he wouldn't have known that. He just said, it's over there. He'll be, well, when did you guys see the star? And they told him. And so probably within the last 2 years. So some baby less than 2 years old in Bethlehem, that's who you're looking for. Oh, and by the way, I want to honor this baby too, but I'm really, really busy. So can you just come back afterwards and let me know where he's living so that I can come and honor him as well? That isn't what Herod was really interested in doing, but we'll come back to that in a sec. So the three wise men make their way over to Bethlehem, and they find the house where Mary and Joseph are living in, and they come here and they give gifts of gold and frankincense, stand up, and myrrh, and they give these gifts to the now toddler Jesus, and Mary and Joseph are kind of amazed. It's like, wow, this is something. But they acknowledge him as the king. They worship him. That is to say, they ascribe worth to him. They've done their diplomatic duty, and now they looks like they probably spend the night in Bethlehem, just taking it easy. And they are warned by an angel not to go back to Jerusalem. And so they returned to their hometown, their homeland, going a different route. So these guys take their camel, and they go this way, and they stay away from Jerusalem and make their way back to Baghdad. There. Herod, meanwhile, is waiting and thinking, okay, what's going on here? I told those guys to come back and let me know when they found the baby, but they haven't come back. It's been a couple of days. I bet you they double-crossed me. You see, what Herod wanted to do, and this is why he's such a donkey, he didn't want there to be a new king of the Jews born to Israel, because he's the king. And he was a really messed up kind of guy. And he got rid of anybody that threatened him for his throne. And so he thought, if there's a new baby being born to be king, and I want to be king, I got to get rid of that baby. He actually wanted to kill Jesus. But this is why the wise men were warned by a dream that they wouldn't go back to Herod so that this wouldn't happen. So Herod's all upset, and so he just said, okay, fine, we got to find this guy. So he sends a bunch of his own soldiers to go to Bethlehem and find Jesus. But the day before that happens, really the night before, Joseph is sleeping, and he has a dream, and an angel comes to him in the dream and says that Herod wants to kill Jesus. So get up, get Mary and Jesus and leave. Go to Egypt so you can escape Herod's threats. So they get up and they take off and go over here to Egypt. And they hang out there for a while. Herod's men go to Bethlehem. They can't find Jesus. What do you do? So life goes on. Herod lives a little bit longer. We don't know exactly how long. It could be 1 or 2 years. But eventually he dies. And once he dies, Joseph, while he's sleeping, gets another dream. And an angel in the dream tells him, Herod is now dead. So the threat is gone. You don't have to worry anymore. You can come back to Israel. And so Joseph and Mary pack up Jesus and what remains of their gold and frankincense and myrrh. And they start coming back to Bethlehem, because that's where their home is. But then they learned that Herod's successor is his son, Archelaus. And they figure, oh, hang on, if this is Herod's son, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, right? Archelaus is going to be just like his dad. This is probably not going to be a good situation. Joseph has another dream, and he's warned not to stay in this area. So they decide, all right, let's go north. And so they go north, avoiding Jerusalem, and they come and decide that Nazareth is going to be their home. And so they buy their house or build a house, and Nazareth becomes their home. And the Gospel of Matthew ends by saying this is why Jesus would be called a Nazarene and why he becomes known as Jesus of Nazareth, even though they began in Bethlehem. So that's the end of the story, the Christmas story, according to Matthew. Now, are we missing anything? Yeah, we are missing a few things because we're used to seeing both stories mushed together. But we did get the wise men, we got the star, but now we have to tell the story from the perspective of the Gospel of Luke. And so how it starts in the Gospel of Luke is there is this couple who live in Nazareth. Their names are Mary and Joseph. And they're engaged to be married. But then when Mary is sleeping, she's visited by an angel who tells her, you have been highly favored by God. And the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and you're going to be found to be pregnant with a child. And when you give birth to this child, you are to name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God, and he will reign on the throne of his father David. Mary goes to the angel, how's this going to happen? Because I haven't done anything to get pregnant. This isn't the way it works. I'm engaged to be married, but we haven't done anything. I'm not married to Joseph yet. How is this supposed to happen? And the angel says, well, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and take care of that for you. And again, your child will be known as the Son of God. And so Mary says, okay, let it be to me as you have said. And the angel leaves her, and Mary is left to think about what this means. Well, one of the things the angel told her is, by the way, this isn't an impossible thing, because your older cousin Elizabeth, who's really quite old and couldn't have kids her whole life, she's pregnant now. In fact, she's 6 months along in her pregnancy. So in case you're wondering, God can do that. He can do this for you too. And so Mary thought, well, then I guess this makes sense for me to go and pay Elizabeth a visit. So she takes off on her own. You know what? Let's give her a camel. She probably didn't have enough money to, you know what? No, we'll give her a donkey. Because, you know, having a camel is like having a Ferrari, and she probably had a Chevy Cruze or something. So she's riding her donkey and goes down to an area called the hill country of Judea, which is over here somewhere. So let's just say it's here. We aren't told where Elizabeth was, but Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, and sure enough finds out she's there. She's 6 months pregnant. But what's really interesting is when she arrives, Elizabeth has the baby in her womb jump right away, and she says, oh, why am I so blessed to be visited by the mother of my Lord? And I know this has happened because the baby leapt in my womb when you came in. This is amazing. And Mary goes, I'm amazed that you found out because I didn't tell anybody. This is pretty incredible. And then she sings this beautiful song called the Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And she goes on for quite some time with this lovely song. And so she's got support with Elizabeth, and she supports Elizabeth. She stays there for 3 months until just before Elizabeth is going to have her baby. Elizabeth's baby, by the way, turns out to be John the Baptist, but that's another part of the story. So after 3 months, Mary goes back to Nazareth. And I guess she's reunited with Joseph. Joseph says, hey, I missed you. And Mary says, yeah, I missed you too, but it was good. I was with Elizabeth. And crazy story. She had a baby. This is amazing. And of course, she herself is pregnant. But she had had the conversation with Joseph. And Joseph was okay with this whole situation. So he's happy to have Mary as his wife. But then Caesar Augustus says, I want to have everybody registered so I can tax them better. So you got to go back to your hometown. And I don't mean just where you were born. We want to go back 1,000 years in history to wherever your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather lived. And so that was the case for Joseph, because his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather David, the king of Israel from 1,000 years earlier, was from Bethlehem. He has to go back to Bethlehem to be registered. So, Mary gets to do this 3-day journey again. We aren't told she has a donkey, but it makes sense. So they start making their journey down 1 day, 2 days. Maybe they popped in and had a dinner or something in Jerusalem, we don't know. Then made their 8-kilometer journey to Bethlehem. And they get to Bethlehem, and they find out that there's no room in the inn, because everybody who's anybody who's got a history in Bethlehem is now there to be registered. And they got there a little late, probably traveling a little slower than normal because Mary's really pregnant, right? And so they go to the innkeeper and say, have you got any room? And the innkeeper says, no, we don't. But all we've got is this stable. And so you can have that if you want. Basically, it's another room in the house where the animals were kept. And so they thought, okay, well, that's better than sleeping outside in the street. And so they went to the stable and found a manger, from the French, manger, to eat. And it's where the animals would eat. You would imagine a donkey and an ox there chowing down, having dinner with the manger, because that's where their straw is. So they arrived, kicked the animals out, and then Mary ends up giving birth to Jesus. And he is wrapped up in swaddling clothes or strips of cloth, and he's put in the manger for a bed. And so there he is. He's born. They've got these animals around them. We did a thing last Sunday. I wonder what it smelled like there, right? But that's what Jesus is born into. And there we are. Jesus is born. Now, it just so happens, though, that at that same time, there were shepherds. And they were in this handy-dandy field that I put down here earlier, because there was a field nearby, and there were shepherds with their sheep, and they were keeping watch over their flocks by night. When all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, ostensibly in the sky. Ah! Ah! And they said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, because today is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this is a fantastic thing, and God's favor is on those whom he favors. This is a good news thing." And then the angel is joined by thousands and thousands of other angels, all singing praises to God about this. And after that happens, the shepherds say to each other, "Let's go check this out. This has got to be pretty amazing." The angel said, "You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." So they go, "All right, let's go find out." So they head over to Bethlehem, and they're looking around. It's the middle of the night, trying to find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And sure enough, they find Jesus and Mary and Joseph. And they tell Mary and Joseph what experience they had had with the angels. And Mary and Joseph are amazed. And the shepherds are amazed. And they figure, "This is great. We just got to go tell everybody." So they start taking off, telling everybody they meet about this amazing thing that they had had. And the Bible says that everybody that heard their story were quite amazed. Now, we aren't told what exactly amazed them about it. I know that if I got woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning by a stinky shepherd telling me that a baby had been born, it's like, well, I think I'm more amazed that you woke me up to tell me that. But anyway, the point is people were amazed. And after they had had a chance to tell everybody, the shepherds went back to their fields and their flocks. And Mary and Joseph were left thinking, wow, that was pretty weird. This has been a pretty crazy day. We got here, the baby's born, we're in a manger, and these shepherds come. This is pretty incredible. And Mary, it said, treasured up all these things in her heart because she had already had the visitation from the angel earlier, announcing that she was pregnant 9 months ago. And now this has happened, and the shepherds had angels telling them this story. So she thinks it's pretty incredible. Well, they go on for 8 days living in Bethlehem. Because what happens is when a Jewish baby boy is born, when he's 8 days old, he gets taken to the temple to be circumcised. That's how Jewish males are identified as being Jewish. So Mary and Joseph, when Jesus is a week old, make their way over to the temple in Jerusalem, and then Jesus is circumcised according to the law, according to the Torah. And then they go back to Bethlehem. I'm thinking by now there was a room in the inn. I'm sure a bunch of other people have left now. They go back in Bethlehem, and they have to wait for a while because Mary has to wait until her time of purification is completed. Basically, when a baby boy is born, the mom has to wait a month until she can go through a purification ritual. If a girl's born, it's like 2 months, but 40 days for a boy. So they're hanging out, and now the 40th day has come, and they go to the temple in Jerusalem again. And while they're there, they offer the appropriate offerings and sacrifices that are meant to be made there. But while they are there, two other people show up in the temple. One of them is an old man named Simeon, who was told by God that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. And so he sees Jesus and just understands that this is the Messiah, takes him in his arms, and is very grateful that now he can lie down in peace because he has seen the Messiah. And then there's a prophetess named Anna who is there as well, who is also, like, she's been there like 80 years being a prophetess. And she says lovely things about Jesus as well. And so Mary and Joseph are going like, wow, this is pretty neat. Like just over a month after the shepherds told us their thing, now Simeon and Anna tell us this. Well, the purification time is over. Everything's done. We can go back home now. And so they go back, the three of them, back to their home in Nazareth. And this is where Jesus grows in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and people. And we don't hear anything else about Jesus in the Bible until he's 12 years old. So that ends the second Christmas story. So with those two Christmas stories in the Bible, it is easy for us to wonder, what do we do with that? Now, I think you can imagine how we've smushed the two stories together, But going with what the timing is that we see in Matthew's gospel and in Luke's gospel, we can cram it together, but it's kind of like making a jigsaw puzzle where you don't quite get the right piece, but you just kind of hammer it in there anyway and you call it good, you know? If we edit pieces out, we can make the two stories fit. But if we don't edit them out, we see that we have two stories with two different emphases. In Matthew, Joseph is to name him Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sin. The name Jesus means the Lord saves. It's the Greek version of Joshua. In Luke's gospel, Mary is to name the baby Jesus. He will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High, the Son of God, and he will sit on the throne of his father David. So Matthew brings up the sin thing, and Luke doesn't. Luke brings up the kingship of Jesus. Matthew doesn't. Matthew talks about this threat to Jesus' life, and he has to hang out in Egypt for a while. This is very much like the story of Moses back in the book of Exodus, when an evil king wanted to kill the Israelite boys, and Moses is spared and comes out from Egypt with the people of God. We see the same kind of thing happening with this version of the Christmas story. So the Gospel of Matthew is trying to connect the dots between Matthew and Jesus and see the significance of Jesus in this way. In the Gospel of Luke, it's a different story. It's all about glory and majesty and this king that has been born and this whole idea about Jesus's greatness. Both of them have him born in Bethlehem, because the prophet Micah was interpreted to mean that that's where the Messiah would be born. But ultimately, Jesus' home was Nazareth. I'm just going to leave those stories there, because that's what we often have to do with the Bible when we read it. We read what it says. We understand and learn, what is this author trying to say? What is Matthew saying? What is Luke saying? And we work from there. For the sake of convenience, we push the stories together, but it's good to consider them separately and find out what really are the things that are being emphasized in each story. So with that, what are your questions, if you have any? What thoughts come to your mind? We can have an opportunity to talk about that a little bit before we have a closing Christmas carol, and then we let you out to go and celebrate Christmas. Have you heard about this before? I see a question right back there. Is that Gabriel? Hey, what's your question, Gabriel? You know what? I think he might have just died of old age. The Bible doesn't tell us how he died. He just died. But he had been the king for a long, long time. So I think he just died because it was time. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, good question, though. That's another thing, too, with a lot of the stories in the Bible, is we don't get every detail that we would like, you know? We just know that, okay, then this happened. Okay, there's a couple of ways that might have happened, but we just aren't told everything. Yeah, Lindsay. Well, they left from Bethlehem, which is towards the south of Israel. I don't know the exact distance, but if you just go straight south and then hang a right towards the south, the southwest across the Sinai Peninsula is where you'll get into Egypt. So we don't know how far into Egypt they went. The main thing was getting to Egypt. And so if you can imagine the Nile River and its extensive delta, there would be a lot of fertile area just here southwest of Israel that they could have gotten into and lived quite comfortably. So, yeah. But I don't know how far it is. I should look that up. Yeah. All right. Jeremy. There are other narratives of Jesus' birth and his childhood. One of them is called the Proto-Evangelion of James. And it... That one starts off by telling you how Mary was born. And Mary's parents were Joachim and Anna, and they couldn't have kids. And then they miraculously had Mary born to them. And so that launches the story from there. So there are other narratives of Jesus's infancy, but these are the two that are in our scriptures, so we focused on them. But yeah, good question. Yeah. Yes, Nathan. The Gospel of Matthew probably was written at least 20, more like 40 years after the life of Jesus. And then the Gospel of Luke, there's debate, it could have been another 20, even 30 or 40 years after the Gospel of Matthew. So we're dealing with some time. Matthew and Luke did share information. The Gospel of Mark was written first, and so they used the Gospel of Mark for a lot of their stuff. But here we see something unique to Matthew and unique to Luke in their understanding of the birth stories. So where did they get that information? I mean, that's always a good question, right? But clearly they wrote the story with their particular emphases in mind about the significance of Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I forgot your name, I'm sorry. Hamish, right, okay. That's what Luke tells us. She had the dream, and because the angel said, this isn't impossible because your old cousin Elizabeth's got a baby now and she's 6 months pregnant, then it seems like Mary probably thought, okay, Leah, let's go check this out. So we get the impression that she left pretty quickly. And it does say that she spent 3 months with Elizabeth. So that would mean Elizabeth was now 9 months old, 9 months pregnant, had given birth to John, and then Mary went back at that point. So that's right. That's right. Exactly. Exactly. And it does tell us that, the Bible does tell us that they went to Bethlehem when Mary was very pregnant. And sure enough, the three-day journey, they get there, and then, wow, Jesus is born. So it would have been a very uncomfortable trip for sure. Yes. That's correct. That's right. Because we were told that wise men came from the east. Magi really is what they're called. That's where we get the word magician and magic from. The Magi came bearing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so that's where we think, oh, there must have been three of them, one each, right? But again, it could have been any number, really. Yeah. Right. Yeah, and that's the beginning of the season of Epiphany, which is what we do as well as Anglicans. We bring up, if we were to put out a creche, the nativity scene out here, we wouldn't let the Magi show up until January 6th, right? So in Matthew's story, they were already living in Bethlehem and Jesus was born and then they're just living for a while. But then we are hearing that they saw this star in the east. And we don't know exactly when they saw it, but when they came to Jerusalem and talked to Herod, they said, where is the new king born? We saw his star in the east. We've come to worship him. And Herod said, well, when exactly did you hear the star or see the star? And we're suspecting that there had been 1 to 2 years that had elapsed by now, because that's why Herod is always interested in the boys 2 years and younger in Bethlehem. Right? If this happened immediately after Jesus was born, who cares about the toddlers? Just go for the infants, right? So that's how that time frame works. So yeah, they've just been living in Bethlehem because this was their home, right? That's where they were going to park until they were warned, let's get up north instead. So yeah, good question. These are great questions to ask. They make us think, try to explore more. I don't want to keep you too long. We're coming up on 5 o'clock. If there aren't any other questions, I think we should go and stand and close with one last Christmas carol.